And Dr. Sherry Atkins is a family medicine resident at Clinton Memorial Hospital in Wilmington, Ohio. She is a graduate of Wright State University, where she completed the Physician Leadership Development Program for students integrating studies in medicine, public health, and business administration. After residency, she plans to practice primary care and work to improve health care delivery systems in rural Ohio.
All right, so we're going to get started talking about assessment and management of adult obesity in a primary care setting. And you can see the other authors on this project were Dr. Marietta Orleski, who's here in the back, and also Sylvia Ellison. I have no financial relationships to disclose, unfortunately. And just an outline of today's talk, we're going to start with a clinical case, very brief, talk about some of the research questions for the project, the methods and results, and then some discussion. So I'm a family practice resident, as you mentioned, and one of the individuals that I had come to see me over the previous few months was, we'll call her Susie Q. She's a 43-year-old female. She does have a history of some thyroid dysfunction. She's on a medication for that. She's not a smoker. She has no heart disease. She's a dream patient. She has no family history of heart disease. And we have electronic medical record where I'm at, you can click through and see the reason for the visit. This is to follow up regarding her thyroid and also to discuss weight loss. This was requested by the patient. So I look through the electronic charting and see under her vital signs that her weight today is 352 pounds, and the electronic record has calculated her BMI for me. And BMI is a body mass index, a ratio of the weight divided by the height squared. And her BMI is 61, which is pretty high. She tells me that she's tried diet and exercise, and in fact, I do see that she's lost about 5 pounds over the past 3 months. However, her weight's really not any different than it was 2 years ago. And she's at the point where she wants to try medication. So lots of questions were running through my mind. You know, she's lost 5 pounds. Is that a success or a failure? Is medication right for her? Should I be thinking about surgical referral? What things should I be offering her? So the research questions for the project were, first of all, what are the rates of physician assessment and management for overweight and obesity among adults? Does physician behavior vary by patient characteristics? For example, are older patients more likely to be screened for obesity, or are physicians more likely to manage female obese patients than male patients? And finally, what's the qualitative nature of the documentation in the chart related to weight? What kind of language are the doctors using? How are they describing their approach to this problem? So we're here at the American Public Health Association annual meeting. I don't think I need to talk a lot about the significance of overweight and obesity in this country as a public health problem. It's extremely prevalent and has an associated mortality risk. You can see for overweight individuals, those people who have BMIs between 25 and 30, they have a moderate risk related to their weight status, and those individuals who are obese with a BMI of greater than 30 are at high risk related to their weight status. So there are a lot of approaches to dealing with this problem, and one of them is to use our traditional healthcare delivery system. And specifically, primary care physicians are in an excellent position to deal with chronic health conditions. Over half of visits annually are made to primary care physicians. So over half of the visits made to physicians are made to primary care doctors. They have the opportunity for repeated contacts with the same patients. They have experience dealing with chronic medical conditions. And in addition to all of that, physician intervention can impact patient behavior. This has been shown for lots of different health-related behaviors, and specifically for weight loss attempts in this study. You can see that for each different BMI category, there was a significant difference in the number of weight loss attempts that patients reported based on whether their physician told them they should lose weight or not. And what I found particularly interesting was that the category, there was an actually a doubling of weight loss attempts reported for patients who are mildly overweight. Those individuals who have BMI between 25 and 27. And it was a doubling from 38% to approximately 70%. So that's pretty impressive. In response to this study and many others like it, many, many other studies, the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute created a set of guidelines for clinicians to follow on the identification, evaluation, and treatment of overweight and obesity in adults. And these guidelines were released in 1998, and they were divided into two steps. So first, physicians should be assessing their patients. They should be measuring their patients. In order to calculate the body mass index, we must have a height and a weight for the patient. And they also recommend getting a waist circumference for patients to further stratify their risk related to their weight. Physicians should be determining other risk factors that may increase the patient's risk related to their weight. For example, patients who are diabetic or patients who already have a history of heart disease, they're automatically put into a very high risk category related to their weight. Next, these patients should be diagnosed. The classifications are BMIs 25 to 30, they'll be overweight, and then greater than 30 diagnosis is obesity. And after the diagnosis is made, the physician should be discussing with the patient their motivation and their feelings about weight loss. What are some of the barriers they think that they might have specifically? What is their social support like? What are their specific reasons for wanting to lose weight? And then the next step is to manage those patients. In partnership with the patients, the physician should develop goals and specific strategies. They should give their patients dietary and physical activity counseling. They should use behavioral techniques. And finally, for appropriate patients with particularly elevated BMIs, they should be thinking about and recommending drug therapy and possibly referral for weight loss surgery. And this is just one of the tables that's included in the guidelines that help to classify those patients. You can look at for example, the listing for overweight patients with BMIs between 25 and 30, and you can see here how the waist circumference plays a role in helping to determine more specific risk level for that patient. If the patient has a particularly high waist circumference, then that puts them at a greater risk than just an individual who's overweight but does not have that elevated waist circumference. And this is a schematic view of the guidelines that we've already discussed. So in our literature review, we found that screening for overweight and obesity is occurring in about half of physician visits, and only about a quarter of obese patients were receiving diagnoses. In terms of management, individuals who had particularly high BMIs and those who were diagnosed were more likely to receive management. In terms of dietary and physical activity counseling, you can see approximately a quarter to 40% received those types of interventions. And of note, dietitian referral, nutrition referral, medications, surgical referral were rarely recommended. And it also appeared that physicians particularly struggled with giving specific behavioral advice. They were much more likely to say, follow a good diet or general good nutrition, rather than going into the specifics of what type of the level of calories or what type of diet that the patient should be following. So based on the guidelines, the Physician Behavior Obesity Scale was developed. This closely mirrors the guidelines that we've just discussed. You can see it's broken up into the two steps of assessment and management. And under assessment, you find the items that we've discussed: measure, comorbidities, which is essentially very similar to the risk discussion that we mentioned previously, diagnosis and readiness, and then under management you find the dietary, physical activity counseling, a patient record keeping item, which is basically patient record keeping is a behavioral strategy that's been used for a lot of other chronic conditions, for example diabetes, where we have patients go home and take their blood sugars at home and then report back to us. Patient record keeping related to diet, physical activity, or weight could be, for example, a dietary log. And then follow-up at the end, because the guidelines do recommend very close follow-up. In fact, recommending initially monthly follow-up. And each item on the scale has a range, possible score range of 0 to 3. For example, a 0 score for measure would mean that there's no height, no weight information for a patient in the chart. Whereas, for example, for physical activity, a score of 3 would be guideline behavior, which would mean that there was a specific goal described with specific strategies that the patient would employ to do that. So the study that we did was a retrospective chart review. Charts were randomly selected from patients who had visited our site, the Berry Family Health Center, over the previous 12 months. We again scored the charts using the physician behavior scale, and we also collected information on patient characteristics, age, sex, gender, race, insurance, and we used those patient characteristics to create linear regression models and relate them to the assessment and management scores. This is just a brief sample patient characteristics slide. Essentially, the sample population very closely mirrored the patient population seen at the Berry Family Health Center. The Family Health Center is it's located on the campus of an urban hospital in a mid-sized city in Ohio, which is Dayton. And they see a patient mix very similar racially and gender-wise to what you see here. And you can see some of the very common comorbidities, hypertension, cholesterol problems. And all of the patients that we included, I didn't mention it, but on the previous slide, in order to be eligible, they had to be overweight or obese in order to be included. What we found was very interesting. We found that assessment was quite variable. The first step, we were somewhat surprised to find that 82% of our population had a documented BMI in the chart, which was pretty impressive. We weren't expecting it to be that high. However, in spite of this great screening rate, only 24% of our patients were diagnosed, and less than 3% of the overweight patients. This is just a graphic representation of the relatively good measurement but very poor diagnosis. Similarly, we found some disappointing results in terms of management behaviors. Half of the patients, half of the charts reviewed, there was no evidence of any type of management intervention in the office visit notes or in the chart at all. Counseling, dietary and physical activity counseling occurred for approximately 36% of the patients, and 30% of the patients were at least advised to follow up regarding their weight. And again, just a pictorial representation of those results. So the next question was, do physician behaviors appear to vary based on patient characteristics? I mentioned that we used linear regression models to try to assess the relationship between some of those patient characteristics and the assessment and management behaviors separately by physicians. Any covariates that approach statistical significance were included in the final model. What we found for assessment was that it did vary by patient BMI when controlled for race and insurance. This model explained about 20% of the variance. And similarly, we found that management behaviors varied by patient BMI when controlled for insurance and risk. So again, just suggesting that those patients who are more overweight and more obese were more likely to be screened, more likely to be assessed and managed. And finally, what were some of the more descriptive results, the qualitative results that we found? In terms of readiness, description of assessment of patient readiness, it typically involved describing the patient's current habits, barriers that they mentioned to losing weight, and previous weight loss attempts. There was not a lot of discussion regarding patients' specific motivation for wanting to lose weight or the types of social support that they had in place in order to do so. And in terms of dietary and physical activity counseling, we found actually some very interesting qualitative results. Most often, the descriptions of counseling were located in the summary portion of the office visit note. So this is at the end of the office visit note when the physician's kind of summarizing, what are all the problems that I saw today with this patient, and what am I going to do? What's my plan for each of these problems? What we found was that typically overweight and obesity were not listed in this summary problem list in the office visit notes. Rather, the description of reviewed diet, exercise, and weight control, or descriptions of some of counseling behaviors, were listed under other comorbidities. And most commonly, it was listed under hyperlipidemia, cholesterol issues, and hypertension, suggesting that doctors are not, perhaps not viewing this as a problem in and of itself, medically speaking, that they're going to follow up. Rather, it's a modifying risk for another disorder. So the results were a little bit disheartening. We had great screening, but poor diagnosis and management. Why is this? Some of the literature has, there are many drivers of physician behavior that have been described in the literature, some that I found particularly helpful in understanding these results were a physician's commitment level, which depends primarily on their beliefs regarding the disorder and the therapy for the disorder. For example, physicians may not see overweight and obesity as a primarily medical problem. Maybe they view it more as a social problem. They may view the treatment as completely useless. Maybe they don't feel that if they make any intervention or discuss the problem with the patient, there's going to be any change in behavior. And the second piece is the knowledge and skills piece that helps to develop the physician's capacity for a certain behavior. Do they have knowledge of the guidelines, which perhaps doesn't mean as much as I thought after hearing your talk? Do they have the skills of giving that specific behavioral advice? And then finally, system barriers. Do they have the adequate time in order to delve into these issues? Do they have community resources at their disposal? Is there a dietitian in the community or a nutrition specialist? Our study was a very small sample, N of 99, pilot project. Only one clinical practice was included. We had quite limited variability in our results, and it was also used, the methods were based on chart abstraction rather than direct observation. And I'm sure there are a lot of other intervening factors that play a role in whether a physician chooses to document what actually occurred in a visit. So what should we do for Susie Q? She wants to start medications. Let's kind of think back about the guidelines and go along with the guidelines. We already have measured her, so we're doing well there. We have a BMI for her. We want to diagnose her, determine what's her risk level related to her weight. What's her readiness? We already have some sense of that. She wanted to talk about her weight. What types of goals should we be developing with her? Are drugs appropriate? Surgical referral? When should we see her again? And again, we can see her BMI again was 61. So she's already in the category of extreme obesity. We did not have a waist circumference for this patient, but you can see that regardless of her waist circumference, she's at extremely high risk related to her weight. The initial goals, as recommended in the guidelines, are 10% body weight loss, which for her would be 35 pounds, 1 to 2 pounds per week using low-calorie diet, moderate physical activity most days of the week. We want to use record keeping with her. Definitely is an appropriate candidate for drug therapy. We may even consider talking to her about surgical therapy if we don't make a lot of headway with drugs, and we want to see her certainly again in 1 month. So that's